Welcome to the Hype Leadership Podcast. David and Lindsay Curry are dynamic entrepreneurs focused in high-performance leadership and coaching in sales and service. Through the Hype Leadership Podcast, David and Lindsay strive to serve in your journey towards a high-performance life. And now, here are your hosts, David and Lindsay Curry.
Welcome to the Hype Leadership Podcast. I'm Lindsay Curry, and this is my co-host, David Curry. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about the satisfaction that comes from pushing through something really tough. We've all faced challenges that feel overwhelming, but there's something incredibly rewarding about sticking with it and coming out stronger on the other side. So if you're going through something really tough right now, hang in there. This episode is all about finding the strength to do the hard things. Today's quote is, "Doing the hard things now prepare you for harder things in the future." And that was from Tracy Morrow. But before we jump into the meat of this call, David, give me an update on Push Week. I know you were out there. We talked about that last week on our call as far as our big Push Week within our AmeriLife family. And you were out there visiting teams. So
I was, yeah. I think we announced this morning that we had maybe a company record of production in one day yesterday with a little more than $250,000 in life insurance, final expense. That's a lot. That's a lot when you get to $250,000, $2,000 at a time. So yes, it's been great. We are scattered across West Virginia, Mississippi, Missouri. I particularly was in Mississippi myself. West Virginia, the hills of West Virginia. Yeah, that's
the hills can make me think.
A lot of traffic yesterday. But yeah, it was awesome. You know, I was a little caught off guard with the fall weather that's come through here in Kentucky and West Virginia, and found myself quite cold yesterday morning, waking up on the river out there. But it's a beautiful thing. So
it is. It is. And it's unfortunately the temperatures are going to be rising back up until the 95 degree range here by tomorrow. So, but I do love fall weather. I do love it. So let's, with that being said, let's jump back into this quote. Doing the hard things now prepare you for harder things in the future. And frankly, I love this quote. I love it because so many people think that doing the hard things now, if you do the hard things now, David, it's going to be easier and less difficult. Because I know that.
I love that. That was me.
Well,
so that was the shocking truth when I first heard it said this way. I've been looking for the easy way out
for a long time,
my whole life. So to think that, you know, you continue to do all these hard things to prepare you for more hard, it's a different way of looking at it. But I like it. You know, you can embrace that.
You can embrace it. But it's actually not true, right? It's not true. Things don't become less hard or less difficult. It's actually we as humans revert back to the last hard thing that we went through, right? We revert back to that. And especially in leadership, it brings another level of decisions that have to be made. Or, you know, David, I think about the agency and what we've been able to help lead and grow our team members. And, you know, we have been so one track focused with final expense for such a long time. And really within the last, 2 or 3 years, we've added Medicare, which was completely new, right? Talking about really starting from square one again. But we've got our feet wet and we are gaining a big understanding. I just finished my AHIP test for 2025 yesterday. Whoop, whoop, whoop. I passed. Thank goodness. But now, you know, getting into retirement planning, I feel as though even though we are not out there, quote unquote, knocking on doors, we are creating a vision and avenue for our agents to really be able to have a more holistic approach. And I feel that that is so important, you know, to be able to provide that for them, because that's a part of, hey, even though I've done this hard thing, harder things are coming, right? And be able to push through those difficult challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you put it towards business, it only makes sense. So I think you can think about the hard things that you face in life. You know, there's so many different obstacles, from, you know, health ailments to financial struggles. But, you know, life's not easy, right? How many times has somebody said that, or have you heard that? So I really think that as unnerving as it may sound to think that all the hard things you're going through are going to preparing you for the harder things to come next, it's really about who you want to be and where you want to go. And us in our field as entrepreneurs and people that have kind of put our success on our own back, there's no other way to think about it. You know,
right.
There's no other option. The day you stop is the day your business stops growing. The day that you start going backwards. You know, I've heard it said about the world, right? Like, when you stay complacent at some point, just because it's working today, at some point you're going to wake up and the world has changed, and the solution that you are solving for is no longer going to be a problem. So if you're not adapting and changing, and most of the time change is hard, right? Then the world's passing you by, because the world changes every day.
Correct. And change is hard. And, you know, tying this into this quote, a funny story about our daughter, Lenny. Okay. Okay, so she, again, this is the second, or I guess the first full week of school, all right? And so shout out to all those teachers out there, all right? And shout out to all the people that always got "this kid talks too much" on your report card or your behavior sheets or whatever the case may be. So we're on day three of she's gotten docked for talking too much. She's very social. If you to know her is to love her. She is a sparkle that hopefully will never go out. She is just great.
Yeah,
so
all the phone calls I got in West Virginia was from Lenny's teacher. So.
Yes, correct. So she talks a lot. So we are at home the other evening, and, you know, I was talking to her about her talking too much. And so her and Locke we're all three in a conversation here. Locke is our son as well. And Locke, my son, is trying to overtalk Lenny. And Lenny goes, "Locke, I haven't got to talk all day long. Let me talk." And I just thought that was hilarious, because now we are on day three of notes coming home of "I talk too much," right? And so it's one of her strengths. But as we are learning, right, that we're preparing her, hey, you've got to zip it so you can learn from the teacher. Yes, you have the strength of talking, but we've got to calm this down. So when you think about doing hard things, because her being able to talk less right now, is she's going to be able to do harder things in the future.
Yeah, and I mean, I love, you know, as we kind of got into this topic, and a couple of the folks we listened to, one thing in particular I dove into was Uberman Lab podcast. Shout out Andrew Uberman. Great work. Neuroscientist, teacher, Stanford University. Had another neuroscientist on his podcast, and by the name of Dr. Adam Grant. And they brought up the conversation, because you and I, Lindsay, have talked a lot about winning with your strengths. And you know, at this point, Adam Grant has now written, you know, his latest research and material is on unlocking your potential. That is what he is hyper-focused on and spent a lot of years researching, studying, and now pouring out what he poured into himself. So, and he made the comment that, you know, I get so irked when people say to focus in on your strengths. And, you know, being a person that has taught people to win with their strengths, I kind of had my ears perked up, right? And he said, you know, it's really those more difficult things for you and the challenges for yourself that are one of the keys to unlocking your real potential. And so you can look at that both ways, right? Because I do believe still, and we've studied the law of the lid from John Maxwell, mm-hmm. if you are a 9, if you are an 8 naturally gifted at something and you pour into that work on, let's just say, public speaking, like John, he's a natural 8-9 communicator. With him working on his delivery and the key points and the way that he delivers his message, he takes his speaking and his communication skills to an 11, right? Where you got a guy like me, and we may dive into that here just in a little bit, but public speaking was never really my strong suit. I was shy of it, right? Like scared of it, scared to death of it. And communication, as my wife there would tell you, I'm a 0 at that. And I'm okay with that. She's not, and which makes me not, but I am not a natural communicator. Therefore, when we talk law of the lid, my natural ability is a 5-6. Yes, I can pour a lot of effort into that strength and raise that level to an 8, maybe a 9. And Brendan Burchard teaches this too, because he's always said the same thing. Like, I don't like coming out on stage and jumping around and smiling and being like this. But his research, his studies have said, if you want to communicate, if you want to lead a crowd, if you want to move people, this is how it has to take place. So we come from both sides of this coin, I believe, Lindsay, you and I. And that's that you do, and you can win with strengths. But if you want to unlock your potential, it's really setting goals and working on your skill set that you may not be great at.
Right. Absolutely. And I know through listening to that podcast, which there is a lot in there, I was actually only listened to a portion of it. There is a lot of informative information within there. But one of the, you know, we had a few takeaways that we wanted to touch on today. And one of them that I thought applied so much, being a creature of discomfort, right? Being a creature of discomfort. And I'll never forget, we dragged David and I think 5 other men to a Rachel Hollis conference. And there, that was...
It did seem as if we were the only 5 there.
Yes, you were. But it was back in 2019, and I'll never forget, she was talking about, she had this whole practice that, you know, find 5 things that you enjoy doing and ensure that you do them every month. And so, you know, if it's a girl's dinner, or, you know, if it's a massage once a month, whatever the case may be. But then she also tied that in with a discipline. And the discipline was that you were to remove something either from your diet and or something that maybe wasn't serving you. So, for instance, she always recommended, okay, I've ate too much chocolate this month, so I'm going to remove chocolate this month. So the whole month of September. And then the next month, it might be chips or whatever the case may be. Or, you know, the something I was thinking is she also talked about, you know, social media and maybe having certain times, hey, I'm only allotted 30 minutes to post my material or content, and then I'm I'm finished with it. And so, because when you think about that, David, that really allows you to go into the next one that we'll talk about here in a minute, but becoming a sponge. Because if you shut down, you know, social, and then you start, hey, look, I'm going to pick up 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes of reading on a topic that's near and dear to my heart. Look at how, you know, you're able to expand your brain, just like you were talking about.
So she said to eliminate something. What?
So you could either eliminate a food group, right? Mm-hmm. Something that maybe you tend to go to when you're stressed, right? Whether that be chips or chocolate or alcohol, whatever that item is.
Okay.
Or, you know, it got me thinking, hey, what if you put boundaries around, you know, everyone's talking about being more present. And I was thinking about, you know, when you're talking about really growing your brain and becoming a sponge and soaking in. Okay, so if you shut off social for 15 to 20 minutes, or, you know, you have boundaries where you're only on it that much, what are you capable of doing with that other amount of time that you're on there? Right?
So that's the reason you're saying.
Correct. Correct.
To replace that with something.
That's going to expand and grow. Yes.
Be doing. Okay. Yeah, that's the hard part. And that's what's also said as being the two secrets, that it's not, yes, we just talked law of the lid, right? But it's not known that your raw talent is what takes you to your highest potential, that it's really more of your motivation levels and the opportunity that you give yourself or that's been given to you. So what I believe Rachel is looking to accomplish with that is opening up a door of opportunity for you. And what I personally have found is that the biggest thing and the biggest deciding factor on whether or not you're achieving these higher performing levels, where whatever topic you want to talk about, is the motivation behind it, the passion behind it. So overall, to unlocking your potential, you have to look at the motivation, and then you have to look at the opportunity. And the way that I would context that is, what kind of character skill set are we building for whatever goal or task that I'm looking to achieve? And then, am I putting the right tools in place for me to learn this new skill set? Mm-hmm. Or am I surrounding myself with the right person? And I think that's where, when we talk about the three character skills, so there's three known, researched, analyzed character skills of people that have reached higher potentials, right? People, mm-hmm. The keys to unlocking higher potential comes from three character skills. And the first one was being uncomfortable, right, Lindsay?
Correct. Being uncomfortable, because just like, and I've seen Steve Weatherford talk about this, I've seen Ed Mylett talk about this, a lot of high performance athletes, entrepreneurs, and, you know, David, you actually just purchased one probably about a year ago, is that cold plunge, right? What does that do to your body? You know, yet no one wants to get in there. Let's just be honest. You can say you want to get in there. You can cheer yourself up. You can shake your pom-poms, whatever. But no one wants to get in the 40-degree cold plunge tub. Sorry.
No, you're right. No, I think the only reason I even get in at this point is because we've spent the money to have one sitting there in our garage that you walk past 15 times a day. So,
well, and something.
Not
enjoyable, right? May enjoy the feeling afterwards, after your toes numb out and they're not, you know, super numb or that pins and needles feeling. But you know what I've learned from, you know, listening to those podcasts about it from Steve and Ed, is you just got to get in. You can't really think about it, because we know it's going to be not comfortable. It's not comfortable at all. And if you just get in and hold tight and just sit there for a second and really concentrate on your breathing, you will.
Then science tells you that the benefits are there, right?
Whether
you feel exactly 100% better or different when you get out or you don't. Science says it, so it's got to be true.
Exactly.
But yeah, no doubt. And you know, it's funny, Lindsay, I've even heard podcasts that speak to doing something that you don't want to do. And there's now brain research out there that says, and I'm not smart enough or have the memory enough to tell you what specific part of the brain, but it was a Goggins podcast. And if anybody knows David Goggins, they know he is one hardcore man that has gone beyond and done things that most people will never do, you know, like that ultra marathoner. I can't even tell you, I'll be wrong, but I mean, the guy runs for days, you know. It's not a triathlon Ironman that he does. He's doing 10x that. But either way, that there is now studies that show that when you commit and you do something that you do not want to do, your brain physically grows. Mm-hmm. And that is the will, that my will to do this, my ability, that's driven from the brain. And when you make the choice, this is another reason why I get in that cold tub, because I listened to that and I said, you know what? Because they specifically reference cold tubs and they said, yeah, you know, if you love getting in that cold tub every day, it's not growing this part of the brain, mm-hmm. because you're enjoying doing that. Like the sauna, you know, I enjoy doing that. It's never going to grow that will for me. But making that commitment to do something you don't want to do does grow this ability, which therefore is unlocking your potential to do more and be okay with handling the harder, right? Where it all comes back to, I'm doing hard now, so I'll be more prepared for harder. And, you know, to me, Lindsay, our business has been a great tool to growing all of these skill sets. You know, the first when we talk about being comfortable or uncomfortable, me going from golf to sales, there's never been anything more uncomfortable for me. I mean, it's just a people business. I thought I was a people person until I started studying people, you know, and then I realized why I don't like talking to people or why I don't like to be a public speaker. So it's been this, you know, a journey of constant learning. And thank God we came into the position that we came into this business with a supreme motivation, because we were in that position that a lot of people find themselves in this world. And that is that the world's outworking them and or outspending them. You know, it costs a lot of money to live here, and
right.
Making anything above average, you're probably not paying the bills.
Right. Well, and we were broke. I mean, kid on the way, broke, and had to make changes. And so it was almost like a fight or flight type thing. Like, hey, look, I'm going to do this thing. I don't know if it's going to work out, but I don't have a plan B right now. I'm going all with the plan A. And that sounds crazy probably to some people that are listening into this, but that comes from motivation. And I believe that when you are aligned with your spouse or whoever that is, that you see a bigger vision for yourself and for your future, that you don't have to have it all figured out. You don't.
No, you don't. And that really ties into exactly these other skill sets that are proven to open up your potential. And that's been a lot of learning for me. And the second one is that, you know, we still today are teaching the beginner's mindset, right? And, you know, Lindsay, it's been said the character characteristic of curiosity is irreplaceable in a human being. And that second character skill of being a sponge, being curious, you know, I know is something that this business has asked you, taught you, and led you to diving into yourself. Right.
Right. No, absolutely. It's definitely all, it's constantly expanding my brain, whether that be as far as insurance or, you know, we'll get into that on another call, but as far as DISC and what I've been able to really help identify the people that we're leading, right? Because that's so important. It's so important to know who you're leading and how they're motivated and how they want to be spoken to, right? And so that's really been able to help me become more of a sponge in that sense.
Yeah, you almost have to be, right? When you don't know anything about something, but you know it's your opportunity for change, what there's only one option. Let's learn everything I can about that. And like you said, Linz, it's an evolving target.
It is.
I remember you telling the story and maybe following up here from our big Orca Week. Maybe we'll bring on the president of Orca. We've talked about him before. It's Lindsay's uncle, Glenn. And I remember Glenn telling you when you were getting in the business, or you asking him, do you think I can do this? And just a sidebar comment here. Guys, we're just having a conversation about one of the next steps for us in our business. And there Lindsay is asking again, do you think I can do this?
It's affirmations. That is my love language, is affirmations.
And I guess my point is that, again, if you want to continue to progress, if you want to continue to keep up with the world, it's going to be a constant adaptation, which means the day you stop learning, the day you stop paying attention, the day you stop pouring into yourself, everything and a lot of others start to pass you by. Nobody, we here at Hype do not want that, and we do not want that for you. So number one, getting uncomfortable, man, getting uncomfortable. Number two, being a sponge. This business has been that allowed us to do that, asked us to do that. And we've been very blessed to have a very strong motivation of, number one, just survival when we got here. And number two, for abundance, you know, that's continued to keep us moving and continue to allow for us to do more. But you can't lose the motivation. When you lose the motivation, you lose the curiosity, you lose your passion. And when your passion goes, there's not going to be a whole lot that continues to follow that. And number three, Linz, is one that I think you've probably been good at. No disrespect, but there are two types of people on this call today. There's the one that is like what we used to call analysis paralysis. And if you understand any of the DISC language, which we'll get into one day, the DC, who is striving for the perfect plan. And then there is the high I, that's just like our daughter Lenny, and then just rocking and rolling and letting the wind blow it, and very excited and joyful to be right where I'm at. So number three is that being okay with being imperfect. So people that have unlocked their highest potentials, what's been shown to be able to do this is being okay with imperfection. And I think another way to understand that is being okay making mistakes. Mm-hmm. Because Lindsay, at this point in our journey, you can probably talk about a few mistakes that we have made that we have learned from.
Absolutely. No, you know, when I think about being imperfect, that is not something that, yes, I always want to do my best. I want to show up as my best. But if I don't, I don't lose sleep over it. And that is just the way that, God made me. And I think to think too far into it and too deep into it wears me out. So that's probably why I don't do it, frankly. But the mistakes, yeah, when I think about when you talk about mistakes, I think about when we had the boutique business and we had no money. And then we borrowed money from the bank for the $6,000 rhinestone machine. And that was,
I forgot we borrowed money for that.
Yeah. And we were going to do rhinestone shirts with my Lily's boutique. And it was great in theory. And I jumped all in, but that software was very challenging for me. And so that was probably a big mistake. But
again, and when we talk about high performance and maximizing potential, we talk about where's your motivation and what kind of opportunity do we have, right? And when we, so that's just a big thought. And then the same with, if you want to go somewhere, you're going to make mistakes, especially as a business owner.
Correct. And failing forward, John actually wrote a book about that, John Maxwell, Failing Forward. And that is part of success. If you are always, you know, successful, 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 there's no such thing. That means that you're not challenging yourself, frankly. And
it is, yeah. And you're spot on. It was General Patton said this, because this is a lesson that I've learned while in this business. And it is, a good plan violently executed now is better than a perfect plan executed next week. Right. And so that, to me, what we're talking about is it's a good plan versus the perfect plan. And when we were sitting down with some mentors starting this business, I remember being told that the imperfect plan put to work is always going to outperform waiting for the perfect plan. And that's been something that I've had to go back to over and over and over again, because I am looking for that perfect plan and maybe not acting as quickly as I should. And it's known that doing the task is what prepares you to be able to execute the task. Where if you want to be perfect, it's hard to get perfect running the play in your head, right? So that's been a lesson for me that I've learned through a lot of years and trial and error.
Well, and a lot of times activity will eliminate that fear, right? That's a quote we heard from Glenn a long time ago. Activity will eliminate the fear. And so when you're sitting and thinking, well, if you just start actually acting, right, you don't have time to think about all those different things, because you're acting and you're in action mode. So I think, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, that's it. I mean, that is it. It does start with setting those goals that are going to stretch yourself, right? If you're hitting 100% of your goals, week, quarter, month, your goals probably aren't big enough. But then it comes down to, do I have the true motivation and passion? And have I surrounded myself with the people or the things that I need to execute? And then we talk about building our character skill set of accepting discomfort, accepting imperfection, and constantly staying curious. And if you want to maximize your potential, that is where you stay and you live there. And like you let us off with, Lindsay, you're going to do some hard things to be ready for the harder.
That's right. Do the hard things to prepare for harder things in the future. So awesome. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you to all our listeners, and we will
see you next week.
David and Lindsay Curry are focused on high-performance coaching and sales and service. Reach out today at 502-314-2789 or visit hype.financial. That's hype.financial to learn more. Thanks for listening to the Hype Leadership Podcast.